This podcast I'm going to discuss ether or ethers. They're an organic class of organic compound. So organic compounds are broken up into different classes. First we'll take a step back and talk about what an organic compound is. It's anything which is made by life. In general it involves carbon and hydrogen and other elements spiced in to give it its special properties. And in fact these occasional extra atoms are so profound that they actually generate the class of organic compounds. Now ether is something I'm going to discuss. It is an organic compound because it shares the properties of being made up by organic molecules, but its origins are anything but life. It's a man-made product in general. And it obviously can occur in trace amounts in nature. And so therefore it's a little bit interesting. This is a podcast by Peter Hill Explains, a universe of explanations where I discuss things scientific. Now this is so many hours off from a major operation, so I'm saying this just to calm down and just sort of data dump things in your mind. So in my head my mind wanders, gathers facts, puts it all together in different structures and then wanders off again. I go back and see if I can remember it. So actually just data dumping it onto a podcast is a good way of getting it out there. And organic compounds are very much these features that you can know a little and understand a lot with organic chemistry. So the idea here is that if you listen to this, you'll know a little but understand an awful lot. The other aspect is that I've got to go through the art of starting off with basics and then building up to an achievable set of ideas. So I think looking at the class or family of compounds called ethers will get somewhere here. So firstly we'll talk about a carbon compound, and we'll talk what a carbon compound is and how we can sort of start to place these together to create more complex molecules. So our most simple molecule I want to start off with is methane, CH4, that is a carbon and four hydrogens. And the carbon has four lone electrons in four separate sp3 hybrid orbitals, two sp3 hybrid orbitals, and they form lobes on the apexes of a tetrahedral pyramid, a triangular pyramid. So with these lobes, these free electrons, these spare electrons, they can bind individually with the electron of a hydrogen. And so they can form a largely covalent bond, that is sharing bond, that the hydrogen shares its lone electron with each of the carbons, electrons on each of the apexes of this tetrahedral pyramid. And in sharing it, the carbon overall fills all its orbitals, and the hydrogen fills its orbitals as well. Now the way that it does it is due to the nature of spin and the overlap of space of these electrons. So turned out to be over an hour discussing this before, but because these can overlap in space, the hydrogen can actually see the electron of the hydrogen can see both the positive charge of the carbon nucleus and the positive charge of the proton. And so it's in a happy space, in a bond. So a methane has got four bonds around the outside, arranged in space on a triangular pyramid or a tetrahedron. Again, this is not for the faint-hearted, for the first people wanting an introduction to chemistry. You probably will have to have done a little bit of chemistry to familiarise yourself with the various ideas. But once we've got a methane, which is CH4, what we're going to do is that we're going to rip one hydrogen off a methane and rip hydrogen off another methane and stick those two together. So the hydrogens have gone away. Let's say that we've made them into a hydrogen molecule, H2, and we make a ethane. That is that the electrons which are unpaired in the individual CH3, let's see, CH3, or I suppose it's CH3 minus iron, comes together and I just have to really think about this, CH3 radical, they come together and actually form an ethane, that is three hydrogens, and on one, the apex is connected another tetrahedral, CH3, so you've got a CH3, a single carbon bond, CH3, and that is the first carbon compound, and you can continue doing this and produce long strings of carbon, and that of carbon, a carbon chain. And as you do it, you get three hydrogens, a carbon, linked to a carbon with two hydrogens, which is linked to another carbon. So in mid-chain, the carbons have linked to two hydrogens and two other carbons. So if you can think of it, it's like a four-armed person, four-armed people in a queue. So we're not two-armed, we're four-armed. Two arms means that you can hold shopping in both arms, which are the hydrogens, and hang on to the people in front and behind you in the queue. And that forms a long queue if you want to think of it that way. And the people at the end of the queue who have four arms, they have one arm holding and can hold the extra three extra bits of shopping. So that's a sort of an introduction into organic chemistry, in that this is a fantastic variable way. You've got so many different options. It's like this fantastic Lego you can plug together in different ways. Now we're going to get to ethers, but things get really interesting is instead of plugging in a hydrogen or a carbon, you plug in a oxygen or a nitrogen or a sulfur, for those, for that matter. These are non-metals, and so they form covalent bonds, and when you do that, you start really affecting the chemical properties of the compound in general, so much so that you can class them together, have a special cabinet full of these different compounds. Now the sort of the way that oxygen is bound is a thing. I'm not going to go into it too deeply. You can remove a hydrogen from your methane and a hydrogen from your water and stick the two together, and you'll stick a OH onto your CH3, and that will form methanol. That forms the class of ols, or alcohols. If you rip off two hydrogens and plug in a an oxygen, that will form something called an alkane. A ketone, I have to remember, it's gone from my head. There's ketones where the oxygen's further up into the molecule, and it's really just slipped my mind at the moment. You'll have to look it up yourself. At the end, it's on the top of my head, but I really can't remember it, not taking notes at this stage. And so it's an oxygen with two bonds in, a carbon with an oxygen with two bonds, and a another connected to another oxygen. So a carbon which has actually taken up, of its four available bonds, two is purely for an oxygen, another one is for yet another oxygen, an oxygen and hydrogen. If it's a carbon with a oxygen bonded to, an oxygen bonded to a carbon with a carbon bonded to a hydrogen and oxygen, that's a class of things called a carbolic acid that forms basic acid group, or if it's that hydrogen in the acid is in fact bound with another carbon chain, that's a ester. And so just going through as aldehyde, there it's gone in my head. It's ketones and aldehydes. They're the same thing, but we call ketones. So this is jumping back. Those people who really know chemistry will go back. And these are all interesting. These are all things made in nature. Say the esters are the things that you smell. Really prone to smell esters. Fruits make esters, and we're prone to smell esters, so that we can come pick up the fruit from the tree and distribute the seed largely in our poo. It's sort of not that great. So esters are, which is an oxygen off to the side, and oxygen in the line of molecules. We'll go ahead. Now, the class I want to talk about today is ethers. Now, there is the ether, which is in physics, which is a ether. It's an A in front of it. And that happens to be the same type of word, but ether is also a gas. I suppose the most earliest ethers were used as a gas to anaesthetize you. People would, get to remember what they used to put in these, their tissue, their handkerchiefs, and put it over your face, and I think it's chloroform is one thing, and there's ethers, which you could also put in your hanky over the, in the Victorian era, put it on your nose and knock someone out very quickly chemically with the vapors, ether vapor. So what are ethers? So in your organic compounds, you have a typical chain, which is a carbon is holding another carbon and holding two hydrogens, and then it links forward to hold yet another carbon, which holds a carbon and two hydrogens. But instead of linking to a carbon and two hydrogens, it links to an oxygen, which holds nothing. And then that oxygen links back into a carbon. So that is the formula for an ether. I'm just going to give you a general view. And so that has the nomenclature, general nomenclature of ROR. R means any sort of carbon junk, an oxygen, and then the other bond of that oxygen links onto another link. The way that you can make a ether is you get two alcohols, a very powerful dehydrating acid and heat, and that removes a hydrogen off one alcohol and an OH off the other to form a water, and you have ROR. That is one method of making an ether. Let's quickly go into the ethers as solvents. So these are not generally made in nature, they can be quite interesting solvents as you put together, or gases. I don't know what they're used for in gases. They're quite explosive, these gases. I think they are used as solvents or used to start combustion engines that you spray ether gas in. That definitely sparks and gets things going. But what I want to talk about is, now that we know what an ether is, so an ether is different from an ester. An ether is slightly different from your average organic compound, where there's carbons in a chain and something's off to the side. It's actually the oxygen's in the chain. And if you have sort of a double alcohol, a carbon with two alcohols, it can form an ether bond on one side of one oxygen, and then form an ether bond on the other side and form a polyether. And I just want to quickly go through the different types of polyethers there are. So the most simple polyether is a carbon with hydrogens linked to an oxygen, which then links to another carbon with two hydrogens, which links to an oxygen, links to another carbon with two oxygens. So it's your carbon chain, but oxygens linked in at every chain link. So it goes carbon, oxygen, carbon, oxygen, carbon, oxygen, carbon, oxygen. So it looks like a normal hydrocarbon, but the interspaced bonds have an oxygen inside. So this is why I like ethers, because it's a very, you can make it anywhere. You can just say, oh, look, any carbon-carbon bond, I can actually stick in a an oxygen. So it's ROR is the formula for ethers. So it's sort of a sub-branch of organic chemistry. It's sort of not involved in life all that much, but you do see ethers, the ether structure sort of suggestively in some of the molecules. Very, very rare that you see it, except in some man-made molecules. Let's go through the roll call of man-made molecules. So COCOCO forms long, very straight molecules. So a hydrocarbon will flop around, but this is forms a really stiff molecule. And this is used in a plastic, very common hard wearing plastic, used in, you can see it's sort of, where it really jumps out of view is where you see all the drones, all this plastic of drones. It's really hard wearing plastic, long life plastic for gears. So if you used other plastics, those gears would wear out very quickly. So gears and drones, at least I've spotted it around the place. The commercial name is Delrin. So you can buy it as a powder and heat it up and it will form your little part. Beautiful machinable part. Good oil properties of it. It does expand. I can't remember whether it absorbs water. If you really want the top machinable part, and you can also see these in drones, if you want the structure part, it's this liquid crystal plastic. And that forms a really dimensionally stable frame. So again, a lot of scientific instruments, quite good quality scientific instruments, liquid crystal. Just looking at some of the weapons we have around here, so you can't help looking at it. The plastic, it looks as though there's some sort of liquid crystal plastic in some of the rifles, the modern rifles, which are made out of, it's frighteningly made out of plastic. But getting back to it, this is Delrin, so this is a plastic. Then if you go up the next step, you go to carbon-carbon, oxygen-carbon-carbon, oxygen-carbon-carbon, oxygen. Carbon, carbon, oxygen. And this forms something which is getting more away from a crystal and more to a oil, and it's actually goes sold under the brand name of CarboWax. That's really attractive, and I think it's a dietary food, but it's definitely like a fat. But because it's completely inorganic, and it is organic, but it's not from life, no bacteria is interested in it. So it's the ideal sort of waxy compound that you can encase medicines in. So you get your medicine and you put it in this wax thing. So if you're going to put it in a bake it into a cake or anything, that cake would go off. So your the compounds of your pill, the pills that you take, those two little beautiful cylinders with a hemisphere on either end which lock together, that sort of clear thing is CarboWax. It's a polyether. There you go, polyether. I bet you didn't know that you were eating it at the moment. It's a covering. And there's lots of other uses. And this is a polymer, so it's a polymer. But the other thing is, how long is that polymer? How long does it go? Carbon carbon oxygen. Does it go for 10? Does it go for 100 links? If it goes, that really determines its property. And you can actually build it and fractionate it and determine what length it grows to get what property of compound. So obviously chemical companies are interested in it, and it's very interesting. Oh, I think it's also used in cosmetic. Obviously in the old days you'd put your cosmetic in bear fat or whatever it is, whatever fat you wanted to do, and you open it up, you'd set up your purely organic cosmetics stand, and after a while on a hot day it would start to smell because it was gone, it would go rancid. So it's sort of a artificial wax that you put in. Oh, what is it? It's what do I call it? It's carbo wax. There you go, a carbo wax which doesn't go off. I don't know, burning it as a wax, you'd get aldehydes, sort of some fairly noxious things if you burnt it. So don't go burning your cosmetics or your pills. I know Delrin, if you do burn it, you get formaldehyde, that oxygen pinches off and walks away with a carbon and two hydrogens. And that is, so if you burn Delrin, that's not too good for you as well. So that's Delrin Carbo Wax. Now, if you go carbon, 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 oxygen, carbon, 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 oxygen, you have a multiple number of carbons, so you get into whole classes of compounds. And but the interesting compound up there is that we are aware of is Lycra. And up here in Glenbrook, we've got lots of cyclists. We've got the hills, these sort of 40-something cyclists all going around the place, and they're Lycra, this stretch Lycra. I think your stretch jeans are like that. I did have one case where I spilt chemicals on my stretch jeans in the 80s, and I think it was a toluene or something like that got on my jeans, and it just dissolved them. So yeah, I was walking home from uni to my accommodation, and my stretch jeans were dissolving in front of them. So I would expect that was a polyether in there to make it stretcher. So polyester to make it a strong fiber, but to make it stretching, you'd put a polyether. I'm not sure of it. I didn't take my jeans, my falling apart jeans, back to the lab to have a look at it. So that's a general gist. We'll just have a revision here. We've gone, what are organic compounds? The carbon and hydrogen, giving you a view of how they stick together, a geometry view of the orbitals, a bit of quantum mechanics there. Oh, look, there's something I will have to cover at the end of it. I've looked at the addition of functional groups, and the functional groups giving you different classes. In general, it's how oxygen is stuck, the ethers are the ones in which the oxygen is mid-chain, and so they're a special class of compounds. Now, just popped in my head is epoxies. What's an epoxy? An epoxy I call it an ether, because it's a carbon, oxygen, carbon. And those two carbons are bonded together, so they form a little triangle. And you can imagine this is sort of like something ready to pop. So it goes two R's, or anything, two bonds of that carbon. It could be hydrogens, it could be other rubbish, R's, a carbon. And then that carbon links up to an oxygen, which then links to another oxygen, but then links across, directly across to that carbon. This is sort of a triangle bond. I sort of like these particular bonds in particular. Now that's very interesting. But what this means is that you've got this compound ready to go. And you then put a hardener in here, which then breaks these bonds and cross-links them, so you have this gooey stuff, which is an epoxy resin, and it goes off. Now, I'm pretty well sure that the entire thing of an epoxy resin is an epoxy, and it's a resin. It looks like a resin, but when you react it, it's no longer an epoxy. COC bond breaks. I'm absolutely sure of it, but that's an almost ether. I don't know whether they call epoxy ethers, but it's in that same class of compound of an oxygen. I suppose an oxygen within that chain background. And at some stage I'll try and give you a guide to naming organic chemistry. I sort of have it, I don't know, I have it in sort of a feeling for it, almost a physical feeling, and I'll see if I can translate that one stage for you. So in the meantime, this is my conclusion. In the meantime, keep on doing science. I hope that's been helpful. It's been helpful for me just to relax and just data dump my understanding of ethers. Thanks for listening.